Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm fine. As you know, my name's Paul. Me and my wife, we are leaders here at church, and it's just awesome to be here. First day is a really good day for me and my wife. She's not here right now, so I can't embarrass her. So that's all right. I get to talk behind her back, which is even better. So first day is going to be our 10th wedding anniversary, so it's pretty impressive. And after 10 years, we're still amazed. I'm amazed by her, and she's amazed that she still is in it. So if you have flowers or gifts you want to give, just write them out to Tucina Love Paul, so therefore I get some brownie points. That'll be brilliant. Thank you very much. Cool. I'm going to start right at the very beginning. I'm sure every single person in this room wants to feel a sense of belonging, wants to feel like we belong to something. Am I right? We all want to belong to something, yeah? Yep. Have you ever walked into a room and you feel like a round peg walking into a square hole? I'm sure we've all been there. You just don't feel like you fit in. You don't feel like you belong. I'm pretty sure, as I said, everyone in this room longs to feel accepted, to feel loved, and to have a sense of belonging. But unfortunately, with the rise of social media and living in a society where more and more people are feeling alone, which means that more people are struggling with this feeling of being accepted, of feeling loved, and having this real sense of belonging. How many times do we walk into a room full of people and still feel alone? I've done that so many times. For myself, I know these feelings all too well. As they say, that adopted people struggle with these feelings more than most. And as for myself, I can say, yeah, we do, because I am an adopted person. And this is true. Through my primary school years and college, and even in my adult years, this is something that I have struggled with, as I do now from time to time, and I'm sure we all do. My parents who raised me, they were nothing short of amazing. They are brilliant parents. I owe them everything, so therefore there's no blame to be passed on them. But still, regardless, I know these feelings very well, and I have lived them, and I'm sure we all do. We all have from time to time. I share this story because we can all relate to it. This is something that we all know, we've all felt from time to time, these feelings. Even if you don't feel this way right now, you can see it mirrored in other people, people around you, people you work with, your children, your family. These feelings you can see mirrored in all these people. And these are the types of questions that I believe Ephesians, especially the second half, focuses on. Now, as you know, at the moment, we're looking into Ephesians. Rebecca did a great job of doing Ephesians chapter 1 last week. And this week, we're just going to carry it on. So I've got Grace here. She's going to come up very soon. Not now, very soon. And she's going to read Ephesians chapter 2. But before she comes, I want you to be aware of the two sections that this chapter is split into. We're going to be skimming across the first one and focusing quite a lot on the second one. So I want her to read it because the first section is important. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, if we can have the next slide up, please, focuses on God's grace and how through what Christ has done on the cross, we are now united with him. So Paul talks about in verses 1 to 3 who we were, how we once completely cut off, how we were once completely separated. And then verse 4, which is a key verse here, he starts it off with the word but. And then he goes on to talk about how Christ made a way. So we can call this section, But God. One day, I tell you, I'm going to preach a sermon called Shortening Your Butts or Shrinking Your Butts, because I think that's the best name ever. And there's so much here I can talk about. But anyway, verse 4. he goes on to talk about how this is how you lived, this is how you once were, but God came in and made a way. It's a very important passage, and I'd love each of you to read it as you go from this place. But the last 12 verses is what God has placed on my heart this morning. And it is our focus of what I want to talk about, which is why this message is titled Outsiders Welcome. So as grace comes up, you can come up now. These are the two sections, verses 1 to 10, how we have been united through grace. And the second section, how we have been united with one another. Please remember those.
So as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thank you, Grace. I was a little bit naughty and I gave you the whole chapter, so naughty me. But didn't she do well? Now, before I really get into this chapter, we need to remember that Paul here is writing to Gentiles. So Paul, a Jew, he is writing to this Gentile church, this predominantly Gentile church. In order for us to get a bit of understanding of the division between Jew and Gentile, which the scripture talks about so much, we need to do a bit of digging into the history. In the Old Testament time, the presence of God dwelt inside the temple, which started as a tabernacle in Exodus. And this temple had three main areas. It had the Holy of Holies, which only the priests could enter once a year. It had the inner courts and the outer courts. Now, these areas were all strictly for Jews only. No Gentile was allowed. But later, King Herod enclosed the outer court with colonnades, which later became known as the Court of the Gentiles. If you read the book of Acts or some of the New Testament writings, you would know this. But on the wall that separated both Jew and Gentile, there was this inscription written on it. And it would be written in both Greek and Latin, saying, "No one, another nation," meaning Gentile, so no Gentile, "is to enter within the fence and enclosure around the temple. And whoever is caught will have himself to blame, but his death ensues." Pretty much this means you will be killed. Isn't that encouraging? Now, this was because Gentiles were not chosen by God. They were not expected to keep these ceremonial laws, and therefore we would never be good enough. There was no way we could enter into his court. Lift your hand here if you actually are a Jew. It'd be good to know. Anyone? Any Jews here? So that means we all have one thing in common. We are all Gentile. So shake the hand of your neighbor and say, "Congratulations, you are not good enough." And in fact, only the high priest, as I said, could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he made atonement for all of Jews' sins. Not us. We were still not good enough. And then 1,400 years later, along walked this guy called Jesus. Some of you know him. And he said some radical things like, "And whoever believes in me shall not perish." John 11:26. So that's everyone. So through Jesus' death on the cross, not only has Christ made a way for us to be saved, which Paul mentions in the first section, but he has made a way for us to be one complete family, whoever believes, Jew or Gentile. As I said, remember, he is writing to the church just like this church, just like North Porirua Baptist Church, a Gentile church. And he is saying that you all belong together as one family and church. We all belong together as one family. But Paul starts this section, from verse 11 to 12, he starts this section talking about who we used to be, who the Ephesian church used to be. Let's read that, please. Next slide. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who are called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember, at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners in the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. In those days, the word circumcised or uncircumcision means so much more than what it does now. We all know what that word means, I hope. I don't want to get into details here or try and explain it. But this word is used for so much, much more. In fact, the Jews used to use it as a put-down word. They would use it to put down Gentiles to say that you are not good enough and you will never measure up. When David fought Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, he said to him, "You uncircumcised Philistine." And this is used so many times, in especially the Old Testament and also in the New. They would use these words as a put-down word. to say that you are not good enough, you do not measure up. And they use this again to show the separation between Jew and Gentile. Now, we all know of plenty of words in our culture that we use to put down and belittle other cultures or other people for obvious reasons. I'm not going to save it here today, but we all know what they are. We have all heard them and might have even said them. So they used to show that we would never be good enough and that they are the Lord's anointed and separated by God and we are not. In verse 13, we have this word but again. Verse 11 and 12, which is on the PowerPoint, we are not good enough. We would never measure up to what the Jews are. This is who we once were. Verse 13, but God. And God made a way for us to be one family. And he was able to do this because Jews was the fulfillment of God's plan all along. That through Israel, they were separated for a purpose. Israel was separated for a purpose. That through Israel, they brought forth his son, Jesus Christ. And through his son, he could do what he has always wanted to do. And that is to bring reconciliation. John 12:32. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This is all a part of God's big plan, his purpose, what he has always wanted to do. So God's son came through the Jews, born from a Jewish virgin mother, and through Jesus we have received reconciliation to one another. And he did that through entering into our alienation, our loneliness, and our brokenness. Jesus came into our world so that he can become the outsider, so that we could be brought in. Jesus became both the judge and the judged. He lived that perfect life. He touched the broken, the hurting, and the misunderstood. And he took it all to the cross. And he became the judge that through him, through what Jesus did on the cross, we would become this new humanity, this new community under the kingship of God, which ties in nicely with what Rebecca said last week, Ephesians 1:3-4, that he chose us in him before the creation of this world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. In other words, this means to be a reflection of him to a world that seems alienated and that feels alienated. So what that means for us as a church is that we are called to bring that message of reconciliation out to the world. And we can only do that if we can acknowledge that we were once alienated, that we ourselves were once cut off, which is what Paul talks about in Ephesians 2:11-12. But the problem is that sometimes there is not much difference between the church and the world, if we were honest. Whether or not we like to admit it, we can sometimes be just as cliquish. We can be just as concerned about being inside this ring or outside that ring. And the desire to be known, to be appreciated and loved, runs deep within us. And what we can do is define our lives by our position. We can define our lives by how people see us and whether or not you have been successful and made it into the in crowd, rather than defining your life by your position in Jesus Christ. In verse 14, Paul starts to answer these types of questions. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. For he himself is our peace. For Christ is our peace. It doesn't say that we will find peace in him. It says that he is our peace. What this means is that through the cross, God has made a way for the divided to become one, which I have already talked about. So through the cross, if you were on the outside, if you were on the outer, if you were a Gentile, he has made a way for you to become one with the Jews. Therefore, there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile or any other race or people group. There's no distinction. We're all one family. And as I've previously said, this means that as a family, we are not called to define our lives by our position or define our lives by how people see us and whether or not you have been successful and made it into the in crowd. Rather, you are to define your position in Christ. When you can find yourself in your position in Christ, this is when you will have peace, as the above scripture talks about. But if we want to understand peace and to have peace, to have this shalom, we need to understand that he is our shalom. Therefore, as a body of believers that has been unified through what Christ has done, that has been brought forth as new humanity, this new family, we are called to put aside our own ambitions, our own desires to be successful and to be a part of building his kingdom. So we are called to put aside our own ambitions, our own desires, and to be a part of building his kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that we're not meant to be successful. We want our families to be successful in our jobs and what we do in life. And God wants it to be. But what I am saying is that if we put God first, then everything else will happen. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then the next verse, Matthew 26:12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God wants us to find success. He wants us to be successful in our jobs, in our schools, and in our relationships. He wants us to be successful. But if you put God first, there is a promise here that you will be successful. But your peace is not going to come out of you being successful in what you do. Your peace is going to come from your relationship with God. And this is how you will find peace. He wants you, so we must stop struggling and in turn seek his will. May his kingdom come. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we as a church have this one single focus, that is when we find our peace. You see, peace is something that you can't contain or you can't go off and look for. Peace is someone to know. For as the scripture says, for Christ is our peace. When we know and are connected with Christ Jesus, we have peace. So as a body, that is when you find your sense of purpose, your sense of belonging, when we as a body, as one humanity, have Christ as our peace, because he is our peace. Now the word peace that is used here comes from the Greek word called Irene. And in Hebrew it means the same thing, shalom, which is a word that we have often heard. I'm sure we've all heard it. This word basically means to make whole or complete. Now, it could refer to a stone with no jagged edges or no rough edges. Or it could refer to a wall with no missing pieces. Shalom refers to something with no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that is complex with lots of different pieces, that is in a state of completeness. So the core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships. And when any of these are out of alignment or breaks down, we could lose our shalom. We could lose our peace. Therefore, life is no longer whole and it needs to be restored. To bring shalom means to make complete or to be made whole. Let's look back at verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jews and Gentiles had this broken relationship through the cross. Now Christ Jesus was that missing piece that brought about this wholeness or completeness to this broken relationship. And let's carry on to verse 15. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. Note the word in himself. He is the missing piece. And through him comes his new humanity, bringing about peace and bringing about completeness and wholeness. We are called to keep our unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility, patience, and bearing with one another in love. Becoming a people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who, in Colossians 1:20, reconciled to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. So for us to be this one body, brought together by him who is our peace, means that we are to share this peace with one another. We are to walk together in love. We are to serve one another, seeking his purposes as one body. As I said at the start of my sermon, there has always been this need within me to be appreciated and to have a sense of belonging. And at times I have strived to find peace by being successful. This wanting to belong, wanting to feel important, affected my childhood and my teenage years and even today. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who has done this. So I have strived to find peace in all these wrong places. In the times I found peace, but it was never this perfect peace. The reason why I lose peace is because I am not birthing my life out of Christ. And just to repeat verse 14, he is our peace. Peace is not something that you can find or control, but peace is a relationship to be had with Jesus Christ, who is our peace. So often, if we are struggling to find our peace, our success, that is because we are not basing ourselves out of Christ. And it is this peace that this world needs so desperately. Because people everywhere, more now than ever, I believe, feel alienated and are striving to find this sense of belonging. And the same peace that you have found in Christ is the same peace that he wants to share with others through you. Because true peace is only found in Christ. Not in what we do, because Christ is our peace. That in him you will find your purpose, your destiny, and your place of belonging. And most importantly, peace. Because I believe peace is something that is completely lacking in the world. Look at the world around you. Look at your family, your workmates. Peace is just something that is just lacking. And peace is something that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you would find this peace could carry you through every single of life circumstances from the beginning to the end. It could carry you through. Life will still hurt. Life will still be hard. But it'll be much more easy because you'll know Christ. You'll have Christ as your peace to ground you. Let's read the last paragraph together. For me, this sums up everything that I've talked about so far. So verses 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself. So as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So to sum it up, so these verses here sums it up nicely. And the first point that I had is that we are no longer strangers. Next slide, please. We are no longer strangers because Christ brought reconciliation through the cross. We are no longer strangers with the world. We're no longer strangers with each other because Christ brought about this reconciliation for us. And secondly, Christ is that chief cornerstone, that missing stone that brings about wholeness and completeness and shalom, this peace both in your life and into broken relationships. He is that missing piece. If you don't feel complete, if you don't feel whole this morning, Jesus Christ is that missing piece. And Christ is our peace. So he wants to just insert himself back into your life to fulfill that gap. And thirdly, we need to bring this reconciliation to a world that feels alienated. And we all know what this feels like, because we have all felt it at one point or another. This world is lonely. It is a lonely place. It is a hard place. And we've got to bring this reconciliation that Christ brought to us out to this world that is and feels alienated. I just want to close with one last verse. And can I have the band up, please? This is found in Colossians 3, 26, 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. We are all the same. We are all citizens of his kingdom. If I have touched a nerve or if you want prayer for anything today, come up the front. Yeah, we would love to pray for you.